Well, we are glad that some of you are with us this morning. Yes. Excited again for another gathering of children of God, of like-minded individuals that want to seek the Lord and do His will and follow after Him and see His glory on the earth today. Amen? That's you guys. In case you were wondering who I was talking about. We've been talking about the characteristics of God. Hey, you guys, these are not character traits that we find in the Bible. They are, but that's not what we're talking about. We are talking who is God. We're talking about God here. So when we're diving into these Hebrew words or whatever, I was going to say it's fun to learn that. It's maybe not fun for you. It's interesting. But we're talking about God. This is who He is. He's our sustainer. He's the author of life. He's the creator of all things. He's the lover of our souls. He's the one that we put our hope in. He's the one that we hinge our future upon. He's the one bringing us to heaven. He's the one bringing heaven to earth. He's the one who meets our needs. He's our provider. He's the one who saved us. He's the one who sustains us and carries us through each and every day. That's who we're talking about. So I don't want to lose sight of, oh yeah, we're talking about God. You know, we might be talking about compassion or gracious or whatever, but we're talking about that's who God is. So as we're praying, as we're worshiping Him, as we're walking through the day, as we're being mindful of the Lord, these character traits, that's who He is. Every time that you're interacting with God, you're interacting with these. You're interacting with the raccoon, right? The compassion of God, raccoon, right? That woominess, that caring, that longing to make it better. God wants to make it better. And we know that because He says it. We're interacting with that beautiful graciousness, right? That chanun. That graciousness of God, that beautiful interaction, the gentleness of speech, the richness and honor, all the things that are involved with graciousness. And last week, we're so glad that God has a long nose. God is slow to anger, right? You remember that? Remember that from last time? He's slow to anger. He has a long nose. It takes Him a long time. And he's always willing to create some space between what could be an immediate reaction, and He leaves room for His graciousness and His compassion to show up. And so this week, we're moving on to the next one. And back in Exodus 34, He passed in front of Moses proclaiming, "The Lord Yahweh, the Lord, compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger and abounding in love." Now, this is a tricky one. This is a little unique, and it's a little different from love, like we just think of love. But God is abounding in, Tim Mackey from the Bible Project calls it loyal love. It's one of those words, as you'll see in just a second, it's really hard to translate. It's really hard to translate, and it's a really powerful, important part of who God is. In fact, let's see if I don't know if I have it on the deal here. Let's see. Yeah, so He's slow to anger, abounding in love, faithfulness, maintaining love. So He says it twice. And so God is abounding in loyal love is kind of the term we put on it for right now. But guess what? We're going to learn another Hebrew word, because why not? Right? If I have to learn it, you have to learn it. The Hebrew word for today is, it's actually another one. It's like the hen, like the lady chicken. It's hen, you know. This is chesed. But we're probably not going to chomp that out the whole time. We're probably just going to say chesed. So chesed, but it's actually pronounced chesed. So chesed is the Hebrew word for love right there, or loyal love, or abundant love, or whatever. Let's see what people have to say about the word chesed. Now, this is the fourth character trait of God that we're looking at, and they say practical theology today, website I'm sure that you all spend some time on, right? Chesed is difficult to translate because it stands for a cluster of ideas: love, mercy, grace, kindness. Chesed wraps up in itself all of the positive attributes of God, okay? All of the positive things about God is kind of clumped up in chesed. Chesed is one of Yahweh's most treasured characteristics. This is a rich and robust term for which no single English word is sufficient. Beyond a sense of love and mercy, embedded in Hesed's meaning is covenant loyalty and relational fidelity. We're going to see more about this covenant loyalty, and that's why Tim Mackey calls it loyal love. This is actually really huge about this word love. And for our English, we have one word love. We learn in Greek, so this is Hebrew. This is Old Testament is Hebrew. New Testament is Greek and Aramaic. In the Greek, we learned about those four words of love. I don't know if you remember that one or not, but eros and phileo and storge and agape. Well, there's a couple words in Hebrew for love. This is one of those that is covenant love. It's loyal love, and it's really tied to a promise, and we'll actually read about that. But they have a hard time translating it. Let's look at that line in Exodus 34 that we already read. Let's look at that in some different translations. Here we go. So the NIV says, abounding in love and faithfulness. We read that. NLT says, filled with unfailing love and faithfulness. CSB says, faithful love. We have steadfast love in the ESV. The New King James just abandons ship altogether. He just say goodness. NASB says loving kindness. Last two say loyal love and loving devotion. And when you see different words translated so differently in so many different translations, that can just be a little alert for you to know that they have a hard time translating it into just one word in English. And so depending on what the translator thinks the author is most trying to communicate there, if multiple words fit. That's the struggle with translation. Translation's tough. Okay, so we see all these different words for hesed. Daryl Bach, a scholar, says that hesed is one of the most fundamental characteristics of God, consistent with what we know about his covenantal nature. Some big words there. Hesed is wrapping up in itself all the positive attributes of God. That's two people now that have said that. Love, covenant faithfulness, mercy, grace, kindness, loyalty. In short, acts of devotion. Now, like if we were saying, we would talk about loyalty as one word specifically. We would talk about love as one word specifically. But hesed is wrapping all this up in there. Kindness that goes beyond the requirements of duty. Aren't you glad for that? That would be a pretty icky life. So hesed is a really important word. 250 times in the Hebrew Bible. 250 times in the Hebrew Bible you find the word hesed. 75% of those is talking about the hesed of God. 25% is talking about hesed to one another. 50% of all of those are found in the Psalms. The Psalms are loaded with the word hesed. And I don't even know if we have a single Psalm on here today. But we're gonna pick the other ones to look at. So let's look at loyal love, loyal love, loyal love. Oh, this is kind of another fun one. Proverbs 20, verse 6, you've all heard this verse. Many claim to have unfailing love, but a faithful person who can find. All right? We're going to look at this verse in a few different translations, and these are all the word hesed. Unfailing love there is hesed, okay? Maybe you haven't caught on after 6 years, but if it's highlighted, it usually means something. This particular string of highlights, the yellow word is the word hesed. It doesn't always, it's not always a one-to-one, but this one is, that's what it means. So here we go. That same verse. The second one, many will say they are loyal friends. So that's hesed. Many will say they have hesed. They're loyal friends. Interesting. That word that's translated love in the NIV in the other verse is translated unfailing love there, but loyal friends in the NLT. Many a person proclaims his own loyalty, but who can find a trustworthy person? Or different version says, the New King James says, most men will proclaim his own goodness, but who can find a faithful man? Just giving you a little sense of the broadness of this word hesed. And again, we're talking about God. This is what we're finding. When we approach God, this is who we find looking back at us. This is the character. This is who he is. Okay, well, these are talking about us, but talking about hesed as the Lord. All right, we're talking about loyal love. Say loyal. Loyal. Talking about loyal love, okay? So we're going to read this little section of Scripture. Yeah, you ever read the Bible before? Anyone ever read Deuteronomy? And there's kind of this tent. There's this little tug of war that goes on that sometimes Moses is like, I hate him, and God's like, but I love him, and so whatever. And then sometimes God's like, I hate him, and Moses is like, but I love him, please don't. And there's just, like, God's like, I'm going to kill him, and Moses is like, don't kill him. And some days Moses is like, oh, you should probably just kill him, and the Lord's like, no, it's a good thing they never both got on the same page at one time when they were both having one of those moments. So we're in one of those moments right now, and the Lord is wanting to say, all right, enough. And Moses is like, raising my hand. Hold on. Just remember something here, Lord. So here we're tuning into that conversation that's happening right now. Deuteronomy chapter 7, starting in verse number 9. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He's the faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keeping his commandments. Never mind. That's coming up in just a second. That's in Numbers, I think. Sorry. But there is that conversation that's coming up just shortly. I thought that was this one. This is what loyal. We're in the section here in my message in my head. It's the section under loyal love. Section where we're talking about this tie of love to God's loyalty, to his covenant, to his promises, right? And so here's the verse. I'm gonna add some highlights to this verse. So again, the yellow word. What is that? Hesed. Yeah, that's Hesed. Yep, love. Okay? Keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commandments, but those who hate him, he will repay to their face by destruction. He will not be slow to repay to their face those who hate him. Let's add that. Look at the surrounding words. Often when you find the word Hesed in the Bible, you find this corresponding idea, and it's built into the word, but often you find in the text words of promise, covenant, faithful. Like, so we see him. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God, keeping his covenant, his agreement, his contract, right? If he signs on the dotted line, it's a done deal. How long? Until next Tuesday? No, for 1,000 generations. It's unbreakable. That's not like actually counting generations. He's saying more than you can count, beyond more than you could imagine. It's beyond you. So this is Deuteronomy 7, 9 through 10, just highlighting that when Hesed shows up, often the idea of, oh, remember, God is a covenant God. He's faithful. He sticks to it. So we're not just talking about showing love. We're talking about a love that's connected to a promise. And I'm not breaking my promises. So the promise isn't just, oh, you're going to get a new pony if you're good. The promise is whatever the promise is, but my hesed, my love, is tied to that promise. Is this making any sense? So it's not just a fickle love. It's not just I've decided to love you in this moment. Hesed has roots in a covenant or a promise. Making any sense at all? Okay. Well, it will. We'll keep going. Now, a little further on in that verse, therefore, take care to follow the commands, decrees, and laws I give you today. If you pay attention to these laws and are careful to follow them, the Lord your God will keep his, what? Covenant of Hesed with you, as he, what? Swore to your ancestors. I made an oath, and I've got this contract, this covenant, and in the middle of that covenant, because I have this covenant, I'm going to show you all of my goodness, all of my kindness, all of my love, all of my mercy, because I promised you. Starting to crystallize a little bit, it'll get even better. Isaiah 54:10 says, though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, yet my hesed, my unfailing love for you, will not be shaken, nor my covenant of peace removed. I've got this agreement with you that you can't break because I chose it, and I'm going to show you my mercy, my kindness, my generosity, my love, my loyalty because of this covenant. So, here we go. Hesed. The idea behind Hesed is I am committed internally to act kindly, generously, and loving towards you, not because of what you've done, but according to my character and the promise or covenant that I made with you. I'm going to love you, not because I just feel really good about it right now. I'm going to love you not just because, man, you gave me like 20 gifts, so now I'm going to love you back. No, I'm going to love you based on a promise to you and an internal value system that regardless of what you're doing right now, I am choosing to covenant with you to keep showing you my generosity, my goodness, my love, my mercy, my kindness. That's good stuff. It'll get better. Just keep hanging with me. Now we're in one of those meetings, but the whole assembly talk about stoning them. How many some days feel like you got a rock to the head? All right, this is Moses is having one of those days where he's about to get a rock to the head. Then the glory of the Lord appeared at the tent of meeting to all the Israelites. The Lord said to Moses, "How long will these people treat me with contempt? How long will they refuse to believe in me in spite of all the signs I performed among them? I will strike them down with a plague and destroy them, but I'll make you into a great nation, greater and stronger than they." He's like, "Moses, this isn't working. I'm going to wipe them out. We'll start fresh with you." Okay? How many of you ever had kids before? You're like, "I'm going to, no." Just say, "No, we don't think that. That's not true at all." But God is just saying, he's entering into this linear time frame here. He knows everything. God knows how long. But he's presenting himself to Moses in this interactive form. He's like, "Man, how long are we going to put up with this? Dude, you're my dude. Come on. How about we just wipe them out? You and me. We'll start fresh." I would think some days Moses would be like, "Hey, is that deal still on the table?" But Moses happens to be in a good space, you know, whatever that's called, right here. And so he starts kind of reminding God of some things. He says in the next verse, he says, "Moses said to the Lord, if you do that, the Egyptians will hear about it. By your power, you brought these people up from among them, and they will tell the inhabitants of this land about it. They've already heard that you, Lord, you're with these people, and that you, Lord, have been seen face to face. They heard that we meet together, that your cloud stays over them, and that you go before them in a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by..." Like, listen, okay, God, if this was just happening and you were just mad at some people, okay, fine, wipe them out. But God, people already heard about us. We're Facebook famous. Right? Like, they already know that we don't just have idols that we carry with us. They already know that there's this supernatural encounter where this pillar of cloud and fire. Do you get what the Bible's saying here? Moses is saying, he's like, "Dude, Lord, people already know that you brought us up out of Egypt by your might. You did all these miracles and signs and wonders. They already know that not only did you just do that and now we're walking along, no, you stayed with us. You're still with us. Your cloud and your fire, and they know that we meet with you, not like someone puts an idol on a shelf, but we meet with you face to face." We already know that. They just words out. Like, there's no putting the genie back in the bottle. They know it. Okay, that's Moses' argument to the Lord. "If you put these people to death, leaving none alive, the nations who have heard this report about you will say..." Here's what they're going to say. "The Lord was not able to bring these people into the land he promised them in an oath." A promise. Oh, God can't keep his promises. So he slaughtered them in the wilderness because he wasn't strong enough. Moses is like, "Wait a minute. I don't want them to say nasty things about you because they've already heard that you're with us. You're near to us. Cloud and fire, we meet with you face to face. If you wipe them all out now, people are going to be like, nanner, 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 your God can't be strong enough." Like, let's not let them say that. Because remember, because listen, Lord, they know that you made an oath. They know that you swore to them on a promise that you were going to bring them into the... Lord, we named the land after the covenant. We call it the promised land. Like, if it was called the maybe land or the hope we get there land. Gosh, Lord, you call it the promised land. It's a promised land. There's a promise and a covenant tied to this whole journey. God, don't wipe them out so that people can chatter and say, put in the comments, "Oh, I knew God couldn't do it." That's the appeal Moses is making, because they knew you promised them. In fact, you even call it the promised land. There's this whole covenant promise. Don't Don't be like, don't do that. Don't act rashly. Numbers 14, 17. Now may the Lord's... So here's Moses. Moses is saying back to the Lord what the Lord showed to him in Exodus 34. Moses says this. Now may the Lord's strength be displayed, just as you declared. The Lord is slow to anger, abounding in chesed. Right? He's repeating back to the Lord what the Lord said to him. He's like, God, you are abounding in chesed, forgiving sin and rebellion. He finishes the quote. Yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children for the sins of the parent to the third and fourth generation. Hold that thought. Stop right there. Hold on. He's saying, God, you're abundant in chesed. You're flowing with chesed and you forgive people. But you do punish the guilty. He's look at this sales pitch here. He's saying, God, we are guilty. We deserve punishment. He quotes the whole quote back to him. We deserve punishment, and you do punish. And we have been hard-hearted and stubborn. He's implying that. That's not all said there, but that's what he's saying. He's saying you would be right in punishing us. You would be justified in wiping them off the face of the earth and starting fresh. Doesn't stop there, though. Watch. He says, but in accordance with your great chesed, forgive the sins of these people, just as you've pardoned them from the time they left Egypt to now. He's saying, God, I know what you said. I know you are a punisher of the guilty. I know you forgive sin, but hey, we've been hard-hearted for a long time. I know that you have every right to wipe them off the face of the earth right now, but here's what I'm saying. Don't forget about chesed. Chesed, God, you made a promise, and your love goes with that promise. You promised them, I know we don't deserve it right now, and by what you said earlier, we're qualified for destruction. But don't do it. Don't do it. Right now, God, I'm laying down the whatever the wild card is, right? I'm laying it down, calling on your chesed. You said that you would do more than what we deserve. You're gonna tie your love to this promise that you made, not because of what we've done, but because you made the covenant. You made the promise. You're so good. And God followed through with that. Moses is a great, if you guys are going into negotiations, you want Moses on your side. He's a great negotiator. He meets with the Lord of the universe and convinces him because of God's own character. It's your character to produce love because of a promise that you made. God, you made a promise, and I know that you'll follow through with that chesed because you're a good God, and that's who you are. Not because of what we deserve, not in response to us. We deserve to be wiped out right now. I know. I told you that. You said it. I repeated it back to you. But here's what I'm going to add to it. Not in accordance to our sins, but in accordance to your chesed, deal with us. And God did. So cool. You guys ever heard of a lady named Ruth? We're just trying to give you some examples of real Bible world chesed. What does it look like? What is it looking like in those moments right now? It's this love that's tied, this mercy, this kindness, this loyalty that's tied to a promise, a covenant. This lady named Ruth. So she wasn't from Israel. They were in Moab or wherever. And Naomi had some sons. I can't remember what their names are. And they married a couple gals, Orpah and Ruth. And then the guys died. So the husband died, their father-in-law or whatever, and then the two sons died. So all three ladies are left, right? And in those days, you're kind of out of luck. If you're a lady and you don't have a provider for you, man, it's a tough road. Right? So you've got to figure out a way to survive, and it's tough in 2024, let alone in thousands of years before Christ. And so you've got this intense moment, and so we're jumping into the story here. And so Ruth 1:8, so Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, go back, each of you, to your mother's home. Like, go find someone who can help you out, because I got nothing to offer here. May the Lord show you chesed, as you have shown kindness to your dead husbands and to me. Naomi's saying, I see this chesed in you guys. Why don't you go go with the Lord's kindness because I don't have anything more to offer you. My husband's dead. Your husbands are dead. Go back home and, you know, this stinks, but let's start fresh. I'm going to go back to my home. So, I don't remember all what I put in here. Oh, yes. Okay. So, yep. So, Orpah left, but Ruth replied, "Don't urge me to leave you or turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. And where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if death, even death, separates you and me." That's a commitment. What would be easier? This is a rhetorical question. There's an easy answer to this. What would be easier? Going with someone who has no way to provide for you, and you're going to a strange land, and to a strange God, and to a strange people, with no promise of even having a meal tomorrow, or going back home to mama? Which is easier to do? I can go back home. All right. Find someone. There's got to be some other guy in the town that needs a good wife, right? But she had made this covenant. She had made this commitment. Her character was such that she wanted to ride this out. And she had every right legally and no obligation to stay with Naomi. And Ruth's like, "We're going to see this thing through. I'm with you. I see something in you that I want to see in my life." So, incredible story. They go back, and there's, lots of kind of stuff that happens. They find one of Naomi's relatives, Boaz. And so Ruth goes out and kind of works the field in his field, and they get to do that. They get to clean the edges or whatever, the stuff that falls down, you know, Jim's squirrel corn, the stuff that didn't make it through the combine or whatever. Yep. The gleaning. You're a gleaner. Yes. And so they get to, by law, the Jewish law, you know, commanded that you leave little strips here and there, and don't pick up the stuff that fell off, leave it for the poor, whatever, kind of establishing routes for the poor. So Boaz owned the field, and when Ruth had been working in his field, and he was favorable towards her and let her, you know, pick extra stuff or whatever. And so when Boaz had finished eating and drinking, he was in good spirits. He went over to lie down at the far end of the grain pile. I mean, who doesn't lay at the far end of the grain pile, right? Ruth approached quietly, uncovered his feet, and lay down. In the middle of the night, something startled the man. He turned, and there was a woman lying at his feet. "Who are you?" he asked. "I'm your servant, Ruth," she said. "Spread the corner of your garment over me, since you are our guardian redeemer of our family. Did not know this till I was preparing for this message." She just asked him to marry her. "Cover me with your garment. Bring me into your fold." Oh, a romance at the end of the grain pile there. But she had been working harder than anybody else, and Boaz saw that, her character and her nature. And so he says, "The Lord bless you, my daughter," Boaz exclaimed. "You are showing even more chesed." Most of your versions are going to say kindness. And I never understood that. Every time that I read that, I'd be like, "I'm going to lay down at your feet, and you wake up, and I'm cold. And so put your blanket over me." And then Boaz is like, "You are so kind. You've shown more kindness now than ever before." Because that's what all your versions say. Almost all the versions say kindness there. But it's chesed. I'm like, I don't even know. What'd she do that was so kind? Being by his stinky feet when no one else would. Like, I don't even. Like there's got to be something that I'm missing in the story. Holy cow, we're missing chesed. That's what we're missing in the story. And so this translation, the NLT, gets it right here. I mean, I don't mean like gets the idea that us in our language, we miss. That's what I'm trying to say. You're showing even more family loyalty now than you did before. Like, what did she do before? She showed family loyalty because she was married into that family of Naomi. And when the going got tough, and Naomi completely released her to go home, she's like, "No, I'm sticking with you. You've shown more chesed. You've not gone after a younger man." And I thank the Lord that my wife made that decision. I'm older than she is. whether rich or poor. Now, don't worry about a thing, my daughter. I will do what is necessary, for everyone in the town knows that you're a virtuous woman. Do you see chesed there? It's this kindness, this love, and they're showing it to one another, but it's this loyalty. It's this longevity of goodness, right? And it's tied to this covenant, this promise, this loyalty. That's loyal love. That's chesed. It's loyal love. It's long-lasting. It's not because you're so spiffy. I'm loving you because I've decided, I've covenanted, I promised in me. And with that promise goes chesed. It goes my goodness and love and kindness and generosity and faithfulness towards you. Huh. Let's look at some promises of chesed. 1 Samuel 20, verses 14 through 17. And may you treat me with the chesed of the Lord as long as I live. This is Jonathan and David, by the way. We've got three stories real quick of two different people talking to each other. So this one's Jonathan and David. Jonathan is the son of Solomon, right? Son of the king, but David's going to, or son of Saul, and David's going to be the new king. Jonathan knows this. Jonathan should be king, but the Lord had David in mind. So Jonathan and David were friends, like deep friends. And Jonathan is saying, treat me with chesed of the Lord as long as I live. But if I die, treat my family with this chesed. Because of this, hey, when the one king is out and a new king is in, man, his family's not, like, it's there's no good retirement plan that goes to your family, right? Kings were overthrown and slaughtered all the time, and often when the new king would get in, he would slaughter the other king's family, so that none of them could rise up and take the throne back again. So Jonathan's saying, because you and I are such good friends and because we love each other, show me chesed. Show me the love that comes from a promise to me. Show me that kind of love. And if I'm dead, show my family that kind of love. And so even when the Lord destroys all your enemies from the face of the earth, so Jonathan made a solemn pact. He made this promise, made this covenant. Right? So I want to see chesed. There's going to be a promise that goes with it. There's going to be a covenant that goes with it. Let's look at the next set of people. This is Jacob and Joseph. When it came time for Jacob to die, Israel to die, he called his son Joseph and said to him, if I found favor in your eyes, put your hand under my thigh. That's a little weird. In America, just don't go around sticking your hand under people's thighs. Just don't. You're not in ancient Israel, okay? So just if you're, no, that's not, like, red flag. But that's how they took oaths, at least in that culture at that moment in time. Put your hand under my thigh and promise, say promise. Promise that you will show me chesed and faithfulness. Do not bury me in Egypt. That's the promise. Promise me that you won't bury me in Egypt. But when I rest with my fathers, carry me out of Egypt and bury me where they are buried. I will do. That's the promise. I will do as you say. Chesed there isn't a mushy-gushy love. Wait, stay with me. Chesed is not just a tingly bump. Oh, I love you. Chesed is a kind of love that says, when you're gone, I've made a promise to you. I'm going to scoop up your old dead bones and put you on a cart that's going to be cumbersome because we've got to carry everything else, and I'm going to get you all these miles of rough terrain, and I'm going to put you in the ground like you made me promise to do to you. That's chesed. That's the kind of love that says, I made this vow. I'm carrying this through. Joseph wasn't get to bury my dad. Like, he's like, I'm following through with this promise. My love for you helps maintain this promise. Does that make sense? One more. Oh, man. We got, you guys ever heard of Rahab? She was, the spies went in to spy out the promised land, right? They went into the promised land. And then the city in Jericho, they heard that spies were there, and she hid them under some grain. There's always stuff happening under grain, right? Grain is kind of this contributor to all these stories. Maybe chesed and grain are tied together. I don't know. But Rahab's like, wait a minute. We're all scared of you. We're going to get wiped out. I don't want to get wiped out. Can you guys help me out with that? She said, Please swear to me by the Lord that you will show kindness, chesed, to my family, because I've shown chesed to you. I promised you that I would hide you from the soldiers. Now promise me that you'll show kindness, love, graciousness, generosity, favor towards me. Give me a sign that you'll spare the lives of my mother, father, brothers, sisters, and that you'll save us from the death. Our lives for your lives. They made this vow, okay? If you saved our lives, we vow. They assured her. That means they promised her. If you don't tell what we're doing, we will show you chesed and faithfulness when the Lord gives us the land. I promise you. And they might not feel like it. Man, they might just be in a slaughtering mood when they come in, sword swinging. But they made a vow. They promised. Now this kindness, this generosity, this love is coming because of that promise. All right, finishing up real fast. What sets chesed apart, some of these are built with a K in the transliteration. Chesed. What sets it apart is if you study all these occurrences, it's the kind of love that someone demonstrates when they're keeping a promise. It's when a desire to be loyal to their promise motivates them to go above and beyond and be super generous, more than what you would expect. That's chesed. It's loyalty, commitment, generosity, kindness, and love all wrapped up in one. Last slide. In the Bible, God is loyal and loving for no other reason other than that's just who God is. That's key for today. Remember that. We're shutting down. God is loyal and loving for no other reason other than it's who God is. He is chesed. Of course he wants his people to respond with chesed in return, but even when they don't, God's chesed remains. Jesus is the ultimate loyal and loving human. And in his life and death and resurrection, God opened up a new future for all of us and for all of creation. God did this because it's just who God is. Generous, loving, and eternally loyal to his promises. Jesus said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. I'm going to chesed you. The fulfillment of these promises. This love is just packed into this promise that goes out to you and is hooked into your life. And if God makes a vow to you, he's going to finish it. Amen? If God makes it, he's faithful to complete it. We said that verse already this morning. He's going to finish it. And he's not just finishing it out of duty and obligation with a grumbly heart. He's finishing it with generosity, love, and kindness. He's maintaining that promise because he said so. And he brings his kindness, his love, because of that promise. That's so good. Jesus is the fulfillment of these promises. We have these great and precious promises in the Word of God, right? And so as these come to bear in our life, we know that with it comes this love of God because he's vowed to us that he's going to be with us. He's vowed that his character and nature is coming with us. So God, I don't know how to say this, God's not made a way to let himself off the hook. Does that make sense? He's contractually obligated to love you. We just joked about it this morning. Well, I love you. Well, because I have to. The Bible says so. I'm not trying to be sacrilegious, but God kind of has to love you. Right? I don't mean to make light of that. I kind of do so that we laugh and soak it into our spirit, but he kind of has to love you because he's vowed to you that he's going to be with you. He's vowed to you that if you respond to him, you're his. Now he has to love you. Chesed. Not just a feeling love, is God in a good mood today? I wonder if I've done enough for God to look favorably on me. No. Have to. Chesed. It's my promise. I'm with you. I love you. I'm bringing all the goodness that I am. I'm coming to Thanksgiving and I'm showing up with all that I am, right? I promise I'm coming. Chesed. Does that make sense? It's a power-packed word. We went through that in one of our marriage nights, and it's just jam-packed with the goodness of God, and it's almost always tied to this covenant, this promise, not a feeling, not being fickle, and not just duty either, but it's motivated by going above and beyond because of a promise, and God's promised us rich and wonderful things. Amen? Let's be done. Let's pray. God, I just thank you for your great and wondrous love that goes beyond what we can ask, think, or imagine. And I pray that we'd all experience today that chesed of God, that faithful, rich, generous love of God that is tied to your covenant, that we're in this new covenant with Jesus, this new promise that you are with us, that you won't leave us, that you won't forsake us, Lord. And we know that your love is unwavering, unfailing, because it can't, because that's who you are. You can't. It's the meaning of the word, and you are with us. Thank you, God, that you're near, as we heard earlier today, and help us to walk out this week with you being near to us. In Jesus' name, amen.